What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Last Second Bid, a sports card podcast. I am Shane Opax, and with me, as usual, we have Mr. Money Man Austin Young, and it's always Christmas in Hollis, Mr. Will Hollis. Gentlemen, how are you today? What's going on?
Doing well, man. Upset that I missed the second pod, but I'm glad to be back on this one.
We missed you, man, but we had some guests on there. That was a longer episode for us, for sure. I apologize to everybody for the length of that episode, but we did cover a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, man, for sure. Last podcast, I mean, we just kind of rolled with it. I mean, we kind of got in a groove and just kept it rolling, and it's a good time. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit longer than we had hoped, but got some good insights from some different people in the hobby. It was a good time.
Oh, yeah. All for the love of the hobby, right? We had your boy on. We had Ratty on. We talked about literally everything, I think. We were talking about Bowman. We were talking about break-in. We were talking about trade rumors, which now, as we see, have come to fruition. You know what I mean? So it was definitely a hell of a conversation. I enjoyed it. I really did, and I learned a lot about other perspectives, which for me and this hobby, being able to get somebody else's perspective, it doesn't mean everybody's always correct, but hearing the other perspective kind of balances my logic. You know what I mean?
For sure.
All right, guys. So let's move into our first regularly scheduled program, What's Up with the What's Up. And we're going to talk about some hobby-related items that have caught our eye over the last few weeks. And as we're getting into that, let's kind of address the elephant in the room here. We apologize for the delay in the show. As you can tell, obviously, this is our third episode. We're still getting our footing. We're getting our rhythm. Our goal is to make sure that you are getting at least two episodes a month every other week, and we're going to be able to have that moving forward. But we do apologize for the delay. A lot going on. Me personally, I hopefully have a little card ripper coming in the future. We have a young one due in August, so been a little busy with that and very, very excited about it. So I do beg your apologies. Please don't be too mad at us, but we are back and we are going to crush it. So let's talk about what we've seen in the hobby now. I'm going to kick this one off because there's a few things that caught my mind, but I want to start with one because before the show, we were talking about this a little bit, but Fanatics is making moves, man. The first thing I would want to talk about is all the Panini employees that just went to Fanatics. I think it was like six within a week that all left Panini and went to Fanatics. And it wasn't like low level employees. It was their higher rated employees, like product development, product art. What are you guys feeling about Fanatics right now? What do you think they're up to? How they're maneuvering? Are you excited about it? What are your thoughts on it, fellas?
In all honesty, I'm terrified. And here's why. You know, obviously, I look at it from a breaker aspect. I have a lot of friends that are small-time breakers. You know, so Panini and stuff like that, some of the unlicensed stuff, stuff that's a little more affordable, you know, they're able to provide decent sized breaks for some of their people in their rooms and stuff like that. And once Fanatic gets a hold of everything, prices are going to skyrocket. You know, they already deal with some of their game use stuff. You know, I've seen jerseys on there that are $14,000 that have no business being $14,000. So I think that's really going to hurt a lot of the smaller guys that, you know, not really making it a living, but, you know, guys like Backyard and Black Tie Breaks and Coffee Breakers, you know, they have such a massive following that it's not going to affect them. But some of your smaller guys that try to do it for fun, make a little bit of money, are really going to hurt from this because Fanatics is just going to price hike everything.
Do you think they may go direct to breaker? Because that's something I had heard previously, that like Fanatics was pretty much thinking, okay, we'll have the product, but direct to breaker. At that point, though, like, what thresholds do you need? Is it going to do exactly what you just said, push out the hobby enthusiast that is doing this with, you know, other members of our community of the hobby that we love, not necessarily to make a killing, but to be able to enjoy breaking with our friends in the hobby and, yeah, maybe get a few that you can rip yourself because you're getting it in bulk. But I don't see that as a sin. But I think that could be one of the issues. What do you think about the direct, though?
I mean,
see, the direct kind of scares me, like, for the sole fact of, like, what happens if you don't have a following and you're doing it for you and just, you know, a semi-large group of your friends, 30 to 100, yeah. 500 group, but you're not ripping in mass quantities like some of these influencers are. So what? So those guys just get left to the wayside and they just don't have a chance? Are they paying extreme markup? Because then most of the material or product is being sent to those accounts that break like that. I'm just
like the high end breakers.
Yeah. This is you need a good mesh point here where they're going to fumble the ball, like on this one. The pun is 100% intended in this. Like, there is a high chance for someone to drop the ball on this. I hope not. But there's a lot of uncertainty in it. And I think that's what has everybody concerned. If you're not concerned, then I don't know how invested you are in the hobby, because there's a lot to go wrong in something like this.
That's very true. And I think that goes back to Austin's point too. Like, we're all kind of on the same logic here, because if it is direct to breaker and it's going to those high end breakers, if you're one of the smaller guys, like you said, 30 to 100 people, you know, you're doing it to just support maybe your hobby addiction, like we all have. Does that outprice then? Are they going to have a higher ticket going through Fanatics? Then obviously it would be direct to breaker, because that's almost like Topps and Panini now being a distributor, like an LCS or a card shop that's able to get an actual Topps affiliation or Panini affiliation. They're getting stuff the day of release. They're getting it at unit price. You don't have that, man. You're going through somebody like, and nothing against them, you know, they're still giving the rates they can give, but like, first I think of is Blowout Cards, Steel City Collectibles. I know I'm forgetting one. Decard World. It's still going to be a much higher price point, and that concerns me too. And you guys know me, like, one of my specialties, one of the things I really enjoy is pro wrestling. We've talked about it on the show. I love pro wrestling cards. For the first time in my life, I got an email from Fanatics. WWE Prism Blasters available through Fanatics, WWEshop.com or Fanatics.com. And it was kind of a, you know, shocking moment. Wasn't fully prepared for it. Price point is still, you know, high to me for what a blaster is. I'd much rather get hobby if I'm going to rip something. But I do worry about what it's going to do to the market, because Fanatics could corner the market like they've done with the merchandise end. You know, they're with WWE, they're with NFL, they're with NCAA, they're with the MLB, they're with MLS. If you want direct merch from them, the branded merch, you have to go through Fanatics. And let's be real, Fanatics is not cheap. They're not. And is that going to affect our market?
Fanatics is not cheap. And to be honest, it's all shit quality.
I completely agree, because I despise the shirts I get now. When I just got a WrestleMania shirt, Cody Rhodes. It's this cheap screen printing BS. And when I used to get it from WWE, it was a high quality shirt with this beautiful bright print on it. And it's just not that quality anymore, but I'm paying double the price.
Yep.
I think, yeah, I'm a little worried.
I think another thing you may see eventually down the road is, you know, you're going to see these bigger breakers. Fanatics may even go to them directly and hire them as a salaried employee just to run breaks for them. Like, hey, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars a year. You know, you need to fill so many breaks per month, and anything over that, you know, you're going to get commissions on or bonuses, whatever you want to call it. And that could be the direction that they end up going.
That still scares me. Like, I don't know. I think there's a fine line between business and hobby. Obviously, if you're in this hobby to a degree, it has to be a business, because there is a financial end since the boom, you know, during COVID. So you have to be intelligent with what you're doing, but does this take, like, is this a move almost taking out the hobby member only? You know, somebody that maybe necessarily isn't going to resell a card, but is solely there to purchase. Does it price them out? That's what concerns me, because then you're hindering the growth of the hobby itself, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like me personally, when I was, you know, really big into cards, and I still am in this point, is I love collecting a certain set, whether that's, you know, like I was doing the Tony Baselli Prism Rainbow, kind of put that on hold for a little while. But just collecting sets in general, it's getting to a point where because product's so expensive, those cards that used to be able to go to a card show that weren't, you know, Tony Vaselli's only really loved by Jacksonville fans. You know, he's the first Hall of Famer, you know, inducted as a Jaguar, you know, our first overall pick as a franchise. So there's a little bit of love there from us, but nobody else cares about him. You know, he's not a major name or a major game changer.
I'm an Eagles fan, and I can tell you right now, if I had his card, I'd give it to you.
I appreciate that for sure. But then that's the point is, you know, is it's not, he's not anything of value, but even so, like some of the prism variations, you know, that are, you know, a higher print number are still relatively more expensive than what they should be.
Very true. Very true. And it eliminates that fun of it. I mean, then you might as well try to collect some early 50s baseball sets. You know, that's kind of where you're pricing it. And to me, it doesn't have that historical value or element that one of those sets does. And then you're hindering the modern market, which obviously right now is massive. I mean, vintage market is always going to be vintage, but now you're altering the modern market. But again, you know, we're playing with a lot of what ifs. I think the consensus amongst all of us, though, is we're concerned.
Yeah,
It's the
for sure.
unknown, and we're all concerned about it. I think that's the bottom line, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that first.
Yes, you did. The consensus goes to
Yeah,
Hollis, man. Let's
it's
move
that
on.
was.
There's another. Oh, sorry. Will, go ahead, man.
No, I was gonna say, like, that's how, I mean, we're on point with this. We got it locked down. And it's concerning, but you know, just like anything, there's pinch points when things try to move forward. So I'm hopeful.
Optimist, what is it? Dreadfully optimistic or painfully optimistic when you know you're going to get hurt in one way or another, but it's that, you know. But let's move on to our next topic. I got another item that's obviously been huge within the hobby recently, and I'd love to get your guys' opinions on it because we were just talking about breakers with the Fanatics element. But there was a story that hit the internet, and it blew up the internet like Kim Kardashian's booty. And this comes with Bleacher Breaks on Whatnot. So I'm not saying I'm 100% versed on this, but I'm going to give you the best insight that I can give you. During a break, someone hit a National Treasures, I believe, Jaylen Waddle 1/1 auto patch. It's the Dolphin patch, and it never was received by the person that hit it in the break. Months later, after they had, you know, filed with them, they sent them product, I guess, in regards to the card. Bleacher Breaks did a repack, and in the repack was this Waddle graded. So now all the screenshots came out about how this card never arrived. They had it, they sold it. They were able to pull Instagram receipts from the dealer that supposedly, and I'm saying supposedly just because I don't know what's factual, what's not, that had sold them the card for the repack. They said they had no knowledge of the history. At this point, Bleacher Breaks has sent that card to the guy that hit it in the original break. However, there's other reports now that have come out where this situation has happened with Bleacher Breaks. One of them was a Tony Romo, low numbered. It was either out of 5 or out of 10 or something like that. Collegiate National Treasures auto patch. The other one was a, oh, for the life of me, I can't remember it. It was a girl that had hit it. Man, I forget what the, oh, it was a Trevor Lawrence, the lottery ticket, gold vinyl, 1/1. They never received, and then, you know,
Wow.
they end up popping up in these other places graded. So it's been an interesting situation. Bleacher has not been on Whatnot since. They have openly stated that it was a mistake, that they've rectified the situation. They obviously did with the Waddle. But to me, this is a large conversation in the hobby because Bleacher Breaks is huge on Whatnot, huge in the break space. And if this is happening where now it's coming to light, like, how often has this happened? What's going on? Where is the protection for the buyer? Do you trust going to Bleacher Breaks now? Like, this is a loaded situation.
Well,
Look, I'm late to this party, but I saw pictures of it, and I know Austin and I have talked like off pod, just roughly about it. And what I just don't see how this stuff, because if it was truly stole, like I just don't see how this stuff keeps happening to these big names. Why would you risk doing that? Why would you risk it to ruin your name over what?
Over what, you know, in the scheme of things to them on the scale they're breaking is minuscule.
Exactly. That's, yeah, I don't get it. But then you can have that one rogue employee who could do it too. It's crazy.
That's a really good point. Could be, you know, one bad apple in the bunch, I guess.
Well, and I think the hardest thing too is, you know, now it seems buyer protection is, as a seller, you have nothing. You know, if a buyer buys something, you know, a PayPal of goods and services, and there's an issue, they automatically side with the buyer. No matter what you provide and what you say, it seems to always favor the buyer. So, you know, it's almost one of those things where, you know, you have to ask for less money. Friends and family, you know, have a bunch of references, you know, wallet vouchers, as we would call them in groups, and essentially say, you know, hey, if this card doesn't get sent, you're responsible for the money. But in a sense, you know, goods and services, you know, I have the Josh Allen Color Blast. Yeah. You know, trying to move that, you know, it's a fairly hefty numbered card. So for me to move that goods and services, who's to say someone doesn't agree to send, you know, $700, and then the second it shows up, declare that there's something wrong with it, and then automatically I'm out $700 and the card.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it terrifies you as the seller, because you don't know what's going to happen in the long run. You know, so I mean, I've always tried to do local, or at least with people that I know in groups where I can say, okay, you know, this person has 7 or 8 vouchers with somebody I've done work with before. I know I can trust this. You know, some of those guys that I've never seen before, you know, I had somebody message me about the Josh Allen this week. He was part of the group for 4 days. So to me, that's sketchy, because it's like, dude, you haven't done any work in here. I don't know anything about you. So it's tough. I mean, you know, and not that it makes it any better, but if you're going to attempt to steal a card, a 101 with a very definitive patch is very hard to do.
You're not hiding it from anybody.
Yeah, like everybody saw what the patch looks like. We know it's a 101. We know what product it's from. So, I mean, dude, you're better off trying to, you know, finesse, you know, a Trevor Lawrence, you know, silver from Prism, you know, rookie card based rookie, than a Jalen Waddle 101 with a definitive Dolphins patch on it.
That's true. Very true. I did just hit a Trevor Lawrence silver, by the way, in a break.
Again,
you said that, and I had to say it.
not saying it makes it better to be able to do it, but if you're going to do it, I mean, you picked the wrong card.
Don't be an idiot. Yeah, if you're going to be a criminal, you can't be dumb.
Which majority of them are, but that's besides the point.
Yeah. And to me, I attribute a lot of this to the volume that they do. Like, I kind of tend to side more with what you guys are saying, too, just because I don't see why they would risk the business they built on a repack for a Jalen Waddle rookie. Like, Mahomes, Herbert, Brady, if you're talking a big card, I get it. Not that that's not a big card, but we're talking what? Really, realistically, like $1,000 to $2,000 at an absolute max. They're not going to risk the reputation for $2,000. They laugh at that.
And it sounds like they, you know, it's damage control, but like, even if they didn't do it and they were completely innocent, minus whatever, like, if there was one bad apple in their group, it's going to be difficult to figure that out. And, or if it really did get lost and found its way to someone else, because that does happen.
Yeah.
They, based off what I've heard, is they actually made it right and did better, like, gave more value, I guess. When it initially happened, they gave him value and they got him the card back. So he had the initial replacement value and he
plus got the card. Yeah. They sent him, like, I think it was a select hobby box and another hobby box in replacement of what it was. And I mean, if we're talking about, what would that be, 2021? Like, that's not a cheap box. Like, that's probably what, $900, $1,000 right there. You've got another hobby on top of it. We're looking at maybe 1.5, 1.7K. Probably made out better than selling the card. Now he got the card too. And again, volume, like, things happen with volume. There is such a thing as human error. If you work in business, you get that. These guys ship out millions of packages a year. Literally a million packages. That was a factual number they published. For three, like, true fuck-ups to be found. Like, I think
time out. Pretty damn good. A million for real.
A million packages. I'm obviously in front of the computer right now. I'm going to look it up. The whatnot owner said it.
Wow. I'm picturing, like, Dr. Evil with his pinky in his corner of his mouth.
1 million packages.
1 million. Yeah. Wow, that's really impressive. Amazing. Yeah, that makes me think that, like, this is just a – it's just a bad case of just whoops, that it did get lost and it wasn't – they could have did better in handling it, this whole situation. And
here's the
transparent.
Quote. Over the past year, they have shipped more than a million packages.
That's wild.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's actually ridiculous.
Like, that is I would have
never
guessed it. Well, figure, these guys have a legit, like, all day they were breaking. Like, I met these guys at Nationals. I shot the shit with them, honestly, for like 10, 15 minutes just at their booth. They all seemed just, like, super amped and, like, loving where the hobby was. Obviously, they were at Nationals. They were killing it, so I'd expect them to be happy. Plus, they were definitely drunk. Kudos to them. Good for you, boys. But, like, realistically here, like, they're not going to blow what they've done for a Waddle.
No.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either.
So, I think we're at a consensus here. We want to believe the higher ground. And honestly, for me, when they do go back to whatnot, I'm definitely hopping in those streams because those giveaways are going to be stupid. And their prices are probably going to be banging for at least a month or two.
Oh, yeah. They're going to overcompensate for sure.
But, I mean, it's not like they ran from it. They addressed it. I think Bleacher's going to be able to recover from it. I think this was just an offshoot. You know, shit happens, man. Sometimes you just got to kick the brick and move.
Yeah, I'm happy that because he made a post saying that, like, they made it right and this and that, and, like, he's not trying to cancel them, which in my opinion is fantastic, because if he wanted to, he could do it, I think.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, he doesn't seem like that. He seems relatively happy with the compensation of how things turned out. Now, it turned out for the better.
But, yeah, I mean, he came to their support. He openly said they made it right. He was happy. And again, I question with the other ones that pop up then, like, you know, how valid are they? You know, is it just an offshoot again? Like, and why did it take this long to come out? So that's right. Kind of my logic. But we're not going to beat a dead horse. Obviously, the hobby, we're going to make up our own minds. Some people are going to hate Bleacher for life because of it and think they're the scummiest on earth. Some people are going to say, dude, it's business. Things happen. They made it right and they move forward, which I think is where we landed as a group here. So we'll move forward from there. Let's move on to the next segment of the day, the in the now. Now. I'm adding my own sound effects. Deal with it. We're going to talk about some current sports talk. You like that? It sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Add a little more bass to my voice. In the now. Now. That's the NWO, by the way. I just probably terrible. But anyway, we're going to get into some current sports talk, everybody. And I'm going to start this one off again because it's been weeks and I want to start this damn thing. And I want to talk about WrestleMania because I got my effing heart broke because I thought Cody Rhodes was going to win it. I thought it was the change in the regime. And then WWE did what WWE does and they flip the script on you, man, out of nowhere. And honestly, probably not the worst thing for business because they had a massive buildup. This is one of, like, the, you know, the most sold or most talked about WrestleManias prior. They were the constant stream. Night one was incredible. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, the Usos absolutely rocked the house. Night one was better than night two by far. But the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match was eloquently done. It didn't end that story, which when they talk about it in the end, like, finish the story, the tagline Cody Rhodes was going with. In WWE and wrestling in general, the story's never finished. It's always a continuation. And now it's that fight to get there. You know, he pushed his way through. Now he's hit rock bottom, gets attacked by Brock Lesnar. You set up this huge match. And as far as the card market, Cody Rhodes card prices are staying stellar. They're at a high premium. They're staying right where they were going into WrestleMania. Roman Reigns cards, if anything, have gone up because he's going to pass 1,000 days as a champion. So now we're talking Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino style shit in the future. I think it's good for wrestling, but WrestleMania broke my damn heart. I really wanted Rhodes to get it. Now there's a new title. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you guys watched Mania, but Austin, I know you did. I know you watched it. But man, I thought Cody was going to do it, and they swerved me hard, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you and I were texting pretty much Saturday and Sunday a little bit about, you know, both nights. And, yeah, it had to be in agreement. I think Saturday was the better of the two nights. All matches were just phenomenal.
They killed night one, man.
Yeah, and I mean, still, I was right. You know, the Lesnar-Omos match, terrible. Most boring match of the night. Now, you know, I agree. I mean, just the way the Rhodes and Reigns match was going, I mean, I didn't see how he loses that match.
Which, saying that now in hindsight, that's an awesome statement. Like, think about what they constructed for me and you both to say the same damn thing. Like, there is no way this guy doesn't win the match.
Yeah, I mean, and dude, you know, especially when he went old school, you know, right towards the end of the match there, drops to the back, you know, hits the, you know, the uppercut on Roman Reigns.
Yep.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, that's the seal the deal moment there. It's got to happen, you know, and then it doesn't. And, you know, we sit there and it's like, I mean, I remember it as a kid, you know, when you would watch, you know, your favorite superstars growing up, when they lost a match, you were upset and, you know, borderline wanted to cry when you were a kid.
Oh, hell yeah.
And for me, it was more or less, damn, they really made me stay up till midnight on a work day to get my heart broken. So now I'm going to go to bed pissed off, you know.
And tomorrow I'm going to watch Raw.
Yeah, now I got to watch Raw tomorrow and be pissed off. You know,
it's wild, man.
All in all, I think, you know, ever since, you know, Vince did take his little bit of step away and they're kind of doing some things differently behind, you know, the curtain. I just think that means there's something bigger building. And I think this match really proved that after Cody had left WWE originally, went to AEW, made his name, came back into this match, proves that he's matured and is able to run as a champion in the future.
That's a great way to put it. And I 175% agree with you. I don't know why I didn't just say 200, but I'm right there with you. I think this actually positions Cody in an even better way to get, I mean, he's over, but dude, he's bought into now. And now look at these matches he's having. Like this past week, he just wrestled Finn Balor. Like, we just watched Cody Rhodes and Finn Balor on Monday Night Raw. Like, that's a pay-per-view match for any other company, federation, or when we were watching wrestling. So what he's doing right now, building that resume, the battle with Brock, it's going to show that he can dominate a monster. It's just one of those things. I think they're really doing well with the storylines right now, and I attribute that to Triple H. The guy is a genius. He loves the business. He's been in the business. He is the business. With Vince stepping away and Triple H taking over that creative and actually having the control, I think WWE is in a very good position moving forward. This is, in my opinion, the best I've seen a WWE or pro wrestling roster since the Attitude Era. I think it is absolutely stacked. The introduction of a new championship that's going to be defended more consistently, the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm intrigued to see what they do with that, too. I mean, you can go 100 directions. Off the top of my head, I think Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, like Chad Gable, I think, has a future. Montez Ford has a future. Now the WWE draft is coming up. Like, they are doing everything right. And for me as a fan, it's exciting. Like, I give a damn again. And that's what you want as a fan of something.
Yeah, I mean, I've been super busy, you know, the last couple weeks. So I haven't gotten to watch Raw, so I'm a little behind. I mean, I know I saw that they just released a new title. So what? I mean, fill me in. What's that about? I mean, I know I saw some people are talking about. They said, great, now we have, you know, three titles.
Yeah. So basically, Triple H came out and he said Roman Reigns is, you know, fantastic. He's going on 1,000 days as a champion, but with that, he's been able to limit the amount of times he has to work. And that's not fair to the fans. So they are going to bring back, or they're going to introduce a new championship for a fighting champion, someone who won't ask for your acknowledgement, but will earn it. And it was like a dig at Roman, which was pretty sick the way it was delivered. and they unveiled this beautiful World Heavyweight Championship. And honestly, what it reminds me of is the big gold belt, the old WCW Championship reimagined. Yep. And it's going to be an actual title that you see every week that is defended consistently on pay-per-views, constant storylines in action. Roman will be the Universal Champion. I have a feeling that'll end up being one belt. That's what I think is going to occur. They'll just merge that into the WWE, you know, however the hell they call it, Undisputed Heavyweight World Champion. It'll be one belt. But the new belt concept, I think, is sick. But to me, it's like, can't we just like have two belts instead of three? But whatever, I get it.
Yeah, because I mean, you would assume if you're going to have, you know, a belt that was designated for each individual show for Raw and SmackDown, you know, if you're going to hold both titles, then as a champion, I mean, you're expected to defend those titles. So you want to be both champions? Great. You're going to have to defend Monday. You might have to defend Friday, too. That's the way it is, and that's the way mm-hmm. it should be. I mean,
well, with the draft now, they said wherever Roman goes, that's where those titles go. The WWE Undisputed World Champion, if he goes to SmackDown, they are on SmackDown. This other belt will be on the other show. So they're completely separating them again.
Yeah, which, and I mean, at least from my remembrance, Raw was always the dominant show. I don't know if it's still that way now or if they're kind of even at this point. So, I mean, I could very well see him going to SmackDown to try to bring up those views that I know in the past was always the lesser show.
Good point. And they've done it in the past. They did it with John Cena. And Raw is always going to be the flagship brand. WWE Monday Night Raw is the longest running episodic television show in history. So it'll always be that dominant brand. SmackDown, I think, is on par, though. They may have the talent now to make both shows great, but it's going to be interesting moving forward. I'm definitely interested to see what happens. And WWE has a ton of new products coming out. And I think with the stars now, it's just going to get bigger. In my opinion, if you are a wrestling fan and you can understand pushes, who has a future, who doesn't, even if you just have a wrestler you like and you want to invest into some WWE cards, I think that market's going to continue to rise, especially with getting purchased by Endeavor. You're talking about the same company as UFC. We're talking about a whole lot of crossover opportunity. I think WWE is in a great place, and it's a good fun investment in the hobby. That's how I'll put it. But what's on your guys' mind as far as, you know, current sports talk? Are we talking baseball? Are we talking football? What you guys want to talk about?
Well, I think...
I just want to chime in.
Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I just want to chime in. For those who are listening, like, I don't know WWE or wrestling at all, but just listening to you guys, I mean, there's some passion in there about this sport. So I just want to take a second and appreciate what you guys and how you speak of it. It is absolutely top tier, fantastic. You guys are in it. You can hear it in your voices and your stories. So it's not just the card portion of the hobby that you enjoy. It's the actual entertainment and camaraderie of WWE. So I just want to give you guys kudos on that. It's really cool to see.
Hell yeah, appreciate that, brother. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, Will, if you want me to kiss you, just say so. You don't have to butter me up first.
Hey, man. Nope. No, thank you. But hey, I do. I got a PSA 9 Red Prism auto of Hulk Hogan, so I'm partially in it, right?
Yes, you are. And absolutely. Eventually I'm going to get that from you somehow.
Honestly, I think I committed that one into the PC just because it's cool.
I think you should, so, because I mean, it's cool. The immortal Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of the guys, you know. Of course. And it's red with the it has the yellow shirt and the red Hulkamania on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's sick. It's a color match.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, got it by accident, but I'm happy I got it.
I was happy you got it because I got an Undertaker auto out of the deal. Cha-ching.
So
what's on your guys' mind?
Moving forward, we need to address the biggest disappointment in the room, and that is for Will, and that is J-E-T-S, Jets.
Okay, let's just pump the brakes for a quick second, because yes, it is a big disappointment, but I'm also invested in love, so I'm not as hurt as I should be. But I mean, there's some growth. I'm hoping Love can do us well for the franchise. you know, if we look how history has been repeating, I mean, he's got a chance to study under Rodgers for so long.
True.
And he's probably going to not be the greatest for the next, like, year or two. But, man, if he can't after the year after that, like this coming season, then I'll start to worry. But I think they got some good weapons. They got some young weapons. They just need to learn a little bit. I think they'll be all right. Not to mention the division's relatively soft yet. So
it's almost like you guys love to repeat history, though. Like, it was Favre got angry with Rodgers. I'm going to retire. Immediately comes back. Rodgers starts, wins a Super Bowl. Now it's Rodgers is angry. Love looks like he's going to get the start. Rodgers demands a trade. He's out. And now you have Jordan Love. And honestly, Jordan Love, I thought, looked pretty good last year. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan, as everybody knows. Jay Love and Christian Watson looked damn good against our defense, and we had a good defense. Yeah. You guys look great.
I mean, short snap, like, it wasn't – he didn't play for too long. But, I mean, he has some glimmer. He has some hope. I mean, I think – I mean, I wouldn't take Zach Wilson over him. I wouldn't take – you know, there's a few guys that, like, were first rounds and did play. Like, I'll see what he does.
That's all
you
want to
talk about, like, repeating history. Freaking Rodgers is doing the same thing Favre did. Literally, he went to the Jets.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize that. I completely forgot. He went to the Jets and then the Vikings. Oh my God,
bro, Favre was on the, I don't know what year Madden it was.
2008
uniform, and then literally, like, he played, like, he was there for like a minute, like one whole minute.
And oh my God, do you remember that pass in the corner? Who, or was that when he was on the Vikings? It was Greg Jennings. He threw the pass to. I'll never forget it. It was like a last second throw. I have to look this up.
Well, if it was with Jennings, he'd still be a Packers.
Let me see. Was it? I guess it was. Oh, yeah. It couldn't have been Greg Jennings then.
Yeah, the only thing left is he has to go to the Vikings after this.
Bro, I'd literally lose my mind.
Greg Lewis. I'm sorry, it was Greg Lewis.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, like, you were right there with Jennings, Greg.
I had the first name right. I got 50%.
Close.
I still hit double bottoms. That's how life works.
Yeah, I still need his on-card auto for the PC, but, I mean, we'll grab it somewhere.
Favre or Aaron?
No, Aaron. I got an on-card out of 50. Ooh. PSA 9 of Favre.
That's a PC piece.
You got that right.
Well, we're going to have to find you an Aaron, buddy.
Yeah, I hope, like, it would work really well if Rodgers gets into trouble for taking money from, like, needy people, and then his stock will go down like Favre did, so I can just pick that up.
He's going to start doing jeans commercials.
Oh, yeah, Wrangler.
No, I think I'm pretty sure last I heard, like, the thing with Favre was, like, serious. Like, he was in some shit.
Yeah, but it was all, like, I don't think anything has been proven. So he's still, like, technically innocent.
As of now.
Yeah.
Damn. I wonder if they have Wrangler jeans in prison. He's going to have a denim jumpsuit.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm a terrible person. I'm an Eagles fan. What do you expect? But I think, honestly, I think Rodgers will do well at the Jets, but they're still going to be the Jets. I don't care how much makeup you put on a pig. It's still the Jets. They have a great defense. I think the offense is loaded. I think Garrett Wilson is an absolute freak. I watched him play at Ohio State. Great player. You have Sauce on defense. They're talking about getting another receiver in the draft, I think, too. Who are they going after? It's not Jackson Smith and Jigba, is it? I think the Eagles are going after Jackson Smith and Jigba. But there's talk that they're going to go after another wide receiver. They brought in – who'd they bring in? Lazard? And someone
they
else,
did.
I believe.
Yes, they did. Who was that?
I forget who else they
brought
up. They
were shooting for OBJ, but I don't think that happened.
No, they didn't get OBJ. but I'm going to the Jets free agency tracker right now.
Hey, OBJ ended up with the Ravens, correct?
Mecole Hardman. That's who they got.
Oh.
And Hardman got wheels, bro. That's the thing. Like, you're just going to let A-Ron chuck it up. They signed a bunch of O-linemen.
It'll be interesting.
I think, you know, you're getting to that point with a lot of quarterbacks. You know, I have a buddy who's a diehard Eagles fan. And we've talked about, you know, obviously we talked about the Jalen Hurts contract and everything like that. And to be honest, I wholeheartedly believe if A.J. Brown wasn't in Philly last year, Jalen Hurts' numbers don't look anything near what they did last year.
Oh, I'm going to agree with that for sure.
And solely because there were a lot of 50-50 balls that he just chucked up because A.J. Brown's down there and he knows he's going to go after the ball.
And he's A.J. Brown.
there's a lot of guys today that don't do that. You know, they don't go up after the ball.
And Devonta Smith is a great compliment when you have speed on the outside too. Like, it's not like that doesn't help.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of, you know, you were talking about draft picks and with the Eagles and who they're going for. You know, I think this is, and, you know, I don't know when you're planning on putting this out, Shane, if you're going to have it out before the draft tomorrow. Yeah, draft is tomorrow, correct? Tonight's Wednesday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
You guys can take this as a lock. The Eagles are going to end up drafting Bijan Robinson from the Texans.
That's what everybody's saying, is that, well, it's either Carter from Georgia, Jordan Davis's teammate, the DN, but he got himself in some hot water, or Bijan Robinson. And it's Howie Roseman. So to me, anything can happen. And I just have to trust in Howie at this point. I hated Howie for, you know, a year or two, but he made me eat my words again. And if he could, you know, pull this thing out, this Derrick Henry rumor, I don't know if he started it or if it's a possibility. You can pull in Derrick Henry, put him next to Jalen Hurts.
If that freaking happens,
I'll cry.
If everyone stays healthy, they will waltz into the Super Bowl.
I'm knocking on wood right now, but like, seriously, like, you put King Henry next to Jalen Hurts or behind him with A.J. Brown on the outside, Devonta Smith on the other, and the offensive line that we have, man, good luck. And I will pray for you. Like, it's a scary thought, but in reality, will it happen? I don't know. I didn't think we were going to get A.J. Brown either. You know, it's the same thing. And the Titans are obviously stupid enough to give us their great players. So maybe it does. But I wouldn't be upset with Bijan Robinson. The Carter draft pick would worries me a little bit. But what I like about it is he's probably the best defensive player in the draft. By far, one of the most dominant defensive linemen in this draft. And he played very well with Jordan Davis. And Jordan Davis apparently was like a mentor to him. So I think if you pair them up, let them have the comfort of each other, building in that defense, learning behind Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and these guys, you could replace that defense that you have right now within like 2-3 years.
Yeah, for sure. I see that 100%.
But again, it's all in the unknown. You know, that's the problem with the NFL draft. It's just always so damn up in the air, honestly. Any other items that you guys want to touch on as far as current sports talk?
I mean, I do want to dive into baseball a little bit.
Let's do it.
You know, there's...
You missed a really good pun.
What you pun? Said, you got to hit it.
Well, I would like to slide into some baseball or something, but like...
That's good. I like that.
I'll take the error on that one. Does that make up for it?
Oh, there we go. Oh, there it is. Infield fly rule applies. Go ahead.
You know, obviously, I mean, there's a lot going on all over the league. I mean, you're seeing a lot bigger scores with this, you know, with the shift band, time clock, bigger bases. You're seeing more aggressive base running.
For sure.
Just some things that really stick out to me. Dude, the Pirates are 16-8.
Yeah, without O'Neill Cruz.
Without O'Neill Cruz. So aside from that, I mean, they're leading the NL Central right now. They're 8-2 in their last 10. You know, and I think the biggest thing right now, and this is going to be a death race to the end is the AL East. Every team is at 500 or better. And right now, as it sits, the Rays are projected to win 134 games this year.
And Wander Franco is doing the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, they started out, what, I think like 19-1 or something like that. Currently, they're sitting at 20-4. Yeah, I mean, that's just absolutely insane.
Orioles are killing it, too. They're, you know, well, and the Blue, I mean, the whole division is kind of crazy right now.
Well, and it's even crazy to think about, you know. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of divisional matchups coming up within there. But the Orioles are 16-8, and they're four games out of first place. If you look at anything else,
Blue Jays are 16-9. They're only 4.5 out.
Yeah, they're exactly. You know, and then like you have the Rangers at 14-10. The Astros are 13-11. You know, for most of the leagues, you know, when you get to four games behind, it's because you're third, fourth place in your division. No, you got, you know, a tie.
Dude, the AL West is wild right now, too. The only team out of it right now is the A's. Mariners are 11-12. They're only 2.5 out. Angels are at 500. They're only two games out.
Yeah, and I think the big thing now is, and this is actually going to tie into football a little bit, the Athletics just announced that they're moving to Vegas.
Which I think is a great move.
And Mark Davis is pissed. You know, for years he tried to get the rights to rebuild that stadium the way it needed to, and the A's pretty much told them, piss off. So he picked up and went to Vegas, and now they're coming there too. And, you know, to him, it's like, you know, you shunned me and didn't let me do what needed to be done, and now you're chasing me.
Yeah, that's very true. I wonder if he's going to try to make their life miserable.
Which, regardless, you know, even with the Athletics moving to Vegas, I don't think those five fans are going to follow him to Vegas.
yikes. But, yikes.
Wowzers. You know, he said there's only five. Sorry, I thought it was hilarious personally.
I miss what you said, to be honest. So
there's only five.
Yeah, five friends, you said.
I love it.
Baseball has been fun this year. I mean, unless you're a Phillies fan, they are breaking our hearts already, but I'd love to get Bryce back, losing Reese at the beginning of season, but I am very happy with Stott and Marsh, two guys that I personally collect, that I have been. I thought Stott last year is when I started buying him. I was really impressed with what I saw. And Marsh, I thought we got for an absolute steal. I was liking him on the Angels because I'm a big Trout guy for obvious reasons, being an Eagles fan. So they're kind of like the second team I follow, and I love watching Marsh. He fits in Philly perfect, so I think there's a lot of young talent there, but they got to put it together. But the Marlins are looking really good. Jazz Chisholm's having a hell of a start to the season.
He is.
Pirates are crushing it. Diamondbacks are doing better than I thought they would. The Diamondbacks are 14-12 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I know they had a decent farm system, and they're starting to put some pieces together. But honestly, I think this rule change is really going to even a lot of things out, and it's going to make it more interesting.
It has already, I think.
You know, not having the shift really helps. And now, you know, my dad and I were talking about this last night. Forget the name of the guy. He's a Japanese player on the Red Sox. Let me see if I can pull it up here. I'm not
on the Red Sox.
Not super familiar, but let me see if I can. Yoshida. Masataka Yoshida.
Oh, okay.
So we were talking, you know, obviously he goes, you know, it seems every Japanese player is the same, you know, Yoshida's only hitting 250 right now, but I think last night he went 3-for-4. And dude, he reminds me so much of Ichiro, you know, just kind of throws the bat to the ball.
That's a high regard there, dude.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of throws the bat at the ball, puts it in play, gets on base. And I think the big thing is, you know, a lot of the Japanese players, you know, in Japan, regardless, you know, they take such pride in everything that they do that, you know, they really honed in on that. They said, we're just going to put the ball in play, get on base, score runs, you know, whereas some of your, you know, American players, you know, Dominican players, you know, they're more, I think, flashy in a sense where, you know, they want to hit the home runs, you know, they want the bat flips and, you know, trot around the bases and everything. But, it just goes to show the difference between them and then Shohei.
That's true.
Because Shohei's a pure power hitter.
Yes. But that's also, like, everything you just said, I think, is why they won the World Baseball Classic. Like, it's, I don't know. The Ichiro thing kind of threw me, because I, like, Ichiro is, like, one of my favorite players watching growing up. And now in my mind, I'm, like, trying to do a side-by-side between, like, Yoshida and Ichiro. And I can definitely see your similarities. Like, I really can. And even in the play, as far as defense is concerned.
For sure.
It's very interesting. Very interesting, to say the least. I'm excited to see what happens this year. I invested in Varsho. He's starting to pick up a little bit, so I'm pretty happy about that. Blue Jays are playing well. Tatis coming back. Love it. Look, he was playing the Cubs last night, and I saw the highlight, the fans chanting he's on steroids. Did they forget who Sammy Sosa is?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I'm just wondering.
one of the poster boys of steroids.
Like, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, like, if there was literally an iconic poster for marketing steroids, it would have Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds on it.
Don't forget, wasn't Roger Clemens part of that as well?
Why not Jose Canseco?
Dude, like, a hefty majority of them are. They're just not getting caught.
And that's what I'm getting at. Whether you like it or not.
I shouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Like,
it's part of baseball.
The kid's electric.
Yeah. The dude's a baller.
Like, we're going to get moths get, mesmerized by the flame. He's the flame. Yes. He's just awesome to watch, because you have no idea what's coming next, whether he's on the field or he's at the plate.
That's a great way to put it. He's just fun to watch. And that's a star in the game of baseball. O'Neill Cruz, fun to watch. Julio Rodriguez, fun to watch. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, fun to watch. Bryce Harper, great to watch. Go Harp. Come on back, baby. But that's what makes baseball great. And for somebody like you, Will, who openly states, like, you're not very big into baseball, when you say somebody's fun to watch, that's a statement.
Yeah.
It draws you to the game, and that's what they need in the game of baseball, whether we like it or not.
Yes.
All right, guys. So let's move into the last segment of the show. We're coming up on that hour mark, and we don't want to leave the people hanging without introducing a little something new. So we are going to move into a segment called Love It or Leave It. And what I am going to do is just give a topic, and each of us are going to go around, say whether we love it or leave it. You can expand on it a little bit if you like, but we want to move through it a little quicker. You guys ready to rock and roll?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this.
Well, we'll let you go first there then.
Oh, no, I don't want to go first. How about we do this? We'll go Will first, Austin, and then me, since I'm reading the questions.
Perfect.
Let's do it. All right, love it or leave it, unlicensed product.
Leave it. And I say that only because it just doesn't get the respect that it deserves. I personally like it. I think I said this maybe on our first pod. Leaf creates awesome stuff.
They do.
Really unique stuff. Game-worn stuff. Low-numbered stuff. It's just, for some reason, the hobby doesn't like it. So it's great for the collector standpoint. It's not really the best to get into in any other fashion if you're looking to either buy to flip or buy to sell to find something in PC. I'm gonna leave it on unlicensed.
Great, Austin.
I'm gonna go opposite. I'm gonna say love it. I think with the direction that the hobby's going with Fanatics, you're gonna probably see a little bit of a bump in some of this unlicensed stuff, because it's gonna be what people can afford. I think, Panini for baseball makes some high quality cards for baseball. They're very similar to the football and the basketball. So I think these other products that Fanatics ends up not buying, probably going to see a little bit of a bump just because it's what people can get a hold of.
Again, I don't disagree. And I'm kind of a hybrid of both of you. I love it for the collection aspect, leave it for the business aspect, because trying to resell unlicensed product, unless it's like a name like Shohei Ohtani or like, I don't know, off the top of my head, Michael Jordan, it just doesn't have the resale value. It's just not as soft after, not as sought after, I'll say. So what I am looking at is love it for the PC, leave it for the business with me. Let's move on to the second item, love it or leave it. MLB debut patch, the patch that they introduced that goes on the jersey for the player when they're making their major league debut, that'll then be used in a future 101 card, very similar to the NFL shield. Will, how do you feel?
Love it. I think it is absolutely fantastic. I think, one, because it's a guaranteed patch, like, you know, there's going to be only one of them. They're only going to have a debut once. And it's just a really, really cool piece of that player's history.
Love it. Awesome.
I'm going to go a little bit of a hybrid here. I love it from a collector aspect. I think it's a great idea. But I'm also going to say leave it. The only reason I say that, because I feel it's such an accomplishment to get to your MLB debut. Like, I think the Pirates just had somebody that's been in the minors for 11 years now, and he's like 31 years old and finally made his debut. So to him, that first jersey that he gets to put on, special. So to have to take that away from him, I think is a big deal. So unless you're doing something where, you know, he's going to wear that jersey for the first inning, and then you're going to take that and keep it for him, the second one, you're going to allow to take that patch off. But I think, yeah, for the most part, leave it so that, you know, you can have that accomplishment if you want to frame that up on your wall to say, hey, you know, this was the jersey I wore, you know, when I finally hit the big stage and made my major league debut.
I love that from a sentimental standpoint. But for me, I'm going to say love it because they make millions. And if they made their debut, they're probably doing pretty damn good. They can buy another patch. So I'm going to say love it because I like it for the 101 cards. I think it's a great concept. But I respect where you're coming from, Austin, because I get the milestone thing. Sorry, Will.
No, yeah, I was going to say, is it only one singular patch, like on like the left shoulder, yep, or left arm?
It's like, okay, right above the logo on one arm, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely get
the impression there was two. Like, it was going to be on like both shoulders.
Maybe they're meant to make Austin happy too, and they only rip it off one sleeve.
Well, see, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I'm often wrong, so I would not be surprised.
I wonder if somebody hasn't tweeted that yet. Like, there you go, Austin. Tweet that. Like, hey, MLB, what if they want to keep it? I don't think Fanatics cares.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we'll go to the third one. Love it or leave it, sports card investor.
I love it. I love it for the sole fact of you, if you keep ripping and you keep everything that you have, and you're not trying to move it and to invest in a PC piece, because if you're an investor, or if you PC anything, that you're investing in that player.
True.
So I that's how I view it. I mean, if you don't have a PC and you're just strictly going from an investor standpoint just to turn a dollar solely for the dollar, I can leave that, like, because I'm not making a living doing that. It's more or less me to make money so I can put it into a D-Wade or some of those Marvel stuff, that the Marvel Bronze PMGs. Yeah. But no, I like it as long as you're moving, if you're investing in a PC piece.
I like it. Austin.
Yeah, I'm going to love it as well. I mean, I'm the same way, you know, some of the bigger stuff that I get, you know, obviously try to make a little bit of money off of it, but I'm more of a PC guy. You know, it gives me room to, you know, get some of those grails that I'm after and stuff that I like, and not feel as guilty about, you know, spending it. So.
Very true. I dig it. And I'm in the same way. I love it just because I feel like the investment standpoint comes from the love of sport, the love of hobby, which it's a part of it. It's an element of it. I don't know if I would necessarily treat sports cards like the stock market, like some do on a solely investing standpoint. When it's solely an investing standpoint, I feel like it tarnishes what the hobby's all about. So I definitely like it from the element of how it's included in the hobby. but I would leave it if it's your sole reason for the hobby. That would be my take on it.
Right there with you, buddy.
I love it. This is why we all work together, boys. We crush it. We crush podcasts. We have 717 Sports Breaks on Whatnot, 717 Sports Breaks on the Facebook, Shane O'Pax on the Instagram, 717 Sports Cars on the Instagram. We all work with one another. We all love the hobby, and that's why we do this for you, the listeners, to have something to talk about, because we come here to talk to each other because our wives and our significant others don't want us to talk to them about it.
Yep. 100%.
Amen. All right, guys, last one for Love It or Leave It, and we're going to actually do a product on this one. It's a newer product, the Topps Big League, which is definitely geared more towards children, but it's a new product. Will, I know you're not big into baseball, but Love It or Leave It.
I'm going to say I love it. I know I'm not necessarily big into baseball, but you kind of hit the nail on the head when it comes to the kids. And today, like when we were kids, there was no such thing as social media and like influencers and things like that. But like I'm pretty sure in that product, you have the sports card investor guys, you have Card Collector 2, and you have a few of those influencers in there, correct?
Yes, you do. They have influencer cards.
Yeah, so they're like, yes, it's not player related, but those influencers are well received about the hobby and sports cards and sports in general. So I feel like it's overall, it's a good thing for everybody. So I love it.
Awesome. Austin?
I'm going to say love it as well. I think that's the big thing. It's no different than baseball right now. You got to keep kids invested. Otherwise, your hobby dies. If you make it so that they can't get into it and find something to love and to chase like we do, hobby dies out. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea for sure. And let's love it up a little bit.
I'm right there with you guys too. I love it for the sole fact that it brings the kids into the hobby like we did when we were younger. We talked about this on the first episode. You know, we all like latched on to Pokemon really early. You know what I mean? And that was like our entrance into this. And then so I think sports cards kind of developed from there. This is to me an easy access for kids where they feel like they're ripping a high-end product. They're starting to learn more about the hobby. The people that are tangible to them, you know, they go to a big card show, they can see Card Collector 2, they can see Sports Card Investor, you know, they have those chase cards for them, and it's also the game in a way, in a fashion that's attractive to them. So I love it. I mean, you guys see us at the trade nights, it's all about the kids. I have taken more L's in trades with kids than you could ever imagine, but it's for all the right reasons, just to keep them in the love of the hobby. So I think we're on the same page with this one. Love it because it's supporting the hobby and bringing kids into it and making something attainable to them. All right, guys. So we are at the tail end of the show here. The last item we got is our cheap plug segment, where we're just going to cheap plug our Instagrams or socials, any shows that we have coming up. I will go first on this one. Again, I am Shane O'Pax. You can get me at Shane O'Pax, S-H-A-Y-N-E-O-P-A-C-K-S, on Instagram, on Whatnot, on YouTube. You can find me. If you're digging the podcast, you're digging the content, feel free to hit me up on social media. I do have some Whatnot shows coming up. I have a large baseball single show and a football single show coming up in the next week. Most of them are starting at $1. Would love to have you come hang out. Will, Austin, drop that cheap plug.
You're up, Will.
Yeah. All right, guys. So you can hit us up on Instagram, 717.sportscards. You can hit us up on there. Hit us up in the DMs. Let us know what you like, what you want to move. We're always buying as usual. Tell us what you like. If you have any kind of questions, reach out. We'll give you the best advice that we can, and we look forward to meeting you guys. Again, that's 717.sportscards on Instagram.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we'll drop the mic. Austin, is there any other cheap plugs you wanted to drop outside of the 717?
Yeah, man. I'm going to throw out a group that Will and I just became breakers for Facebook, the Hobby Lobbyist. Can check it out. Will's been doing a little more. I kind of took a little bit of a backseat right now, taking care of some things myself. But fun little group. Got some breaks going up here and there. It's a fun time. Come out and check it out. Come say hi. Come rip some decent product at a decent price. You know, we're not going to be like Bleacher Breaks. We're going to send you everything.
I knew that was going to come back around in this conversation somewhere. But guys, yeah, as always,
Hit us up on Instagram. We'll drop you a link to the group.
Absolutely. Hobby Lobbyist is awesome. I'm a member as well. You'll see me dropping some sniggities in there for you to sniggity and have some fun with and add to the PC. But fellas, as always, I really appreciate you joining me. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. I know we talk on a daily basis, but we can just get together and chop shop and talk hobby. It's always a great time. So I genuinely appreciate you guys joining. As always, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last second bid. We just dropped some gems for your ear holes. Realistically, we just had some fun talking some shit, having a good time. Keep on ripping. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and we hope that you pull nothing but heat. Have a great rest of the day, y'all.